Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read in Matthew chapter 6. We will look at verse 11. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. We have considered the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer, and these petitions have to do with God and the reverence that is due to Him. It begins with the first petition, Hallowed be Thy name. And we are to seek God's glory above all things, more than our daily bread, and more even than anything else that is in the following petitions concerning ourselves. So the glory of God is dear to Him, and it should be what we seek above all things, the glory of God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But we have in the remaining three petitions what has to do with ourselves and our particular needs. And the Lord is requiring us to pray for what we need, and that is our daily bread, and that our sins would be forgiven, and that God would keep us from temptation and evil. Well, the Lord requiring us to pray to Him for our needs should really encourage us, because it is He Himself who gives us all that we need, and we are dependent upon Him for our needs, and He knows what we need even before we ask Him. And He assures us of that in verse 8, that we're not to be like the heathen use vain repetitions, because they think that they will be heard for their much speaking. But we're not to be like them. The Savior says, "For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." And then He says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye." Knowing all of this, God knows all that we need, and we're not to use vain repetition. The Lord is showing us how to pray. And the Lord's Prayer is a very comprehensive prayer. It is a directive for all of us how we should pray and what we should pray for. And He is calling us to draw near to God, to draw near to God as children to a Father who is able and ready to help us, and He is ready to provide for us all that we need. And so we are taught to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And the Shorter Catechism again summarizes what we are praying for in this petition. We pray that of God's free gift we may receive a competent portion, that is a sufficient portion, of the good things of this life and enjoy His blessing with them. And with the Lord's help, we will consider, first of all, the free gift. All that God gives us is freely given to us. And secondly, the sufficient portion. We're not to pray for riches, but we're to pray for a competent or sufficient portion. The sufficient portion. And thirdly, the blessing of the Lord. We're to pray for His blessing on all that He gives us, and that He would help us use the things that He gives us in a good and gracious, godly manner. The blessing of the Lord. So first of all, we consider the free gift, then the sufficient portion, and then the blessing of the Lord. The free gift. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. The very form of the words are an admission that the provisions are God's gift to us. They're not we do not demand them. We don't just snatch them or take them, but we receive them as God's gift to us. And we also acknowledge that we are not worthy of these gifts, and that is because of our sinfulness. We do not deserve these mercies. They are given to us freely, that of God's free gift we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life. The Larger Catechism puts it like this. In the Lord's Prayer, in the fourth petition, we pray for our daily bread, acknowledging that in Adam and by our own sin, we have forfeited our right to all the outward blessings of this life, and deserve to be wholly deprived of them by God, and to have them cursed to us in the use of them. So we're acknowledging that we have forfeited our right to earthly goods. We don't deserve them, we don't have a right to them, because of our sins. And the fact of the matter is that we have not only lost the right to the good things of this life, we have lost the right to our own lives. We deserve to be given up and over to death, because the wages of sin is death. That is what we deserve. We're not worthy of any mercies or blessings from the Lord. What we are worthy of and what we deserve is to perish in our sins. Do we think of that? Are we persuaded of this fact, of our hell deservingness? What we really deserve is a place in hell because of our transgressions. Sin is the accursed thing and brings the curse upon us. The only way to have it removed is by the death of Christ. And so what we deserve is that we would be deprived of all the mercies of this life. That is the what we really deserve, and that's the essence of a lost eternity, is to be separated from God and all that is good, to be given up, abandoned, separated from God. And even if we do receive the things of this life, what we really deserve is that the mercies that we have from God, the good things of this life we deserve, that they will be turned into a curse. We deserve that these good things would not be good things in the use of them, but that they would be embittered to us, so that, to put it very concretely, in a very clear manner, we deserve that we would have no appetite to enjoy the food that we eat. We deserve that our investments would have no return, that we might plant crops and get no harvest, and that in spite of all the good things of this life, we would still be left to dwindle in ill health and be left to pine away and perish. That is what we deserve. We must not forget that. It's very humbling to hear these things. It's humbling to preach these things. But this is what God's word brings before us, that we would recognize that of God's free gift, we receive a competent portion of the good things of this life. We have no right to these things of ourselves. We have, by sin, forfeited our right. We have lost our right by sin. But it is Christ who restores to us the right to all these good things. So, friends, if we have believed in Christ, then he has purchased our salvation by his own blood. And since our persons are redeemed or bought by his blood, Christ has also purchased a right and title to all the good things of this life. So that if we're believing in Christ, we're his people, and we can call these things ours. Because as Paul says, all things are yours. Jesus said that, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And so we are praying for the Lord's people, give us this day our daily bread. Because Christ has purchased a right to our daily bread. He gives us a covenant right. If we're in Christ, then we know that all things that we need will be provided for us. As Paul the Apostle says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Well, are we in Christ? That's another great question for us. Is Christ precious to us? Do we go to him for forgiveness by his precious blood? And is this evident by having a hatred for sin, and that we would abhor evil and that which offends God because it is evil? And do we desire to conform to the Lord Jesus Christ in all things? From the heart are we praying, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I desire to do God's will right now here on earth, just as the angels do in heaven, and just as the spirits of just men made perfect are doing God's will in heaven this moment. As some of the Lord's people are passing into eternity, we know them, and they're in heaven right now, and they're doing God's will perfectly. Do we desire to do God's will perfectly? We'll never be without sin here on earth, but that it will be the desire of our hearts to obey God perfectly, not just half, not just halfway. Well, if it's our sincere desire and endeavor to please God in all things, we have clear evidence, strong evidence, that our sins are forgiven, that Christ died for us, that he has purchased for us a right and title to all the good things of this life that we need. He has purchased that right by his own blood. And so, friends, and before we move on, let us remember that we should be like Jacob of old, who said, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies thou hast given to me. And we are to look to Christ and trust in the mediator, that through him we might receive the blessings of this life that God has given his people a right to, our daily bread. But let us remember that we're not praying for a great portion of this life. We're praying for a competent portion of the good things of this life. We're praying for our daily bread. So in the second place, let us consider the sufficient portion. Because remember, we're praying that God would give us this day our daily bread. There's so much in these very few words. This day, our daily bread. Sometimes we should just take a portion of Scripture and just maybe think about one or two or three words in that verse, and we could get so much good for our souls if we would just stop, pause, and think about it for a few minutes. This day, our daily bread. Well, we're praying that God this day would give us what is needful for us today. And that teaches us that we are to not be anxious about the future. Now, of course, it is lawful, scripturally lawful, to lay up for the future, to make arrangements for the future. We have examples of that in the scriptures. You read about the virtuous woman in the book of Proverbs. And indeed, it's impossible for our food to be put on our table without planning and forethought, because the farmer has to go outside and till the ground and think about how much he's going to till and how much he's going to plant and how much of a harvest he might get in the providence of God afterwards. He's planning for the future. But what we're taught to pray, and the reason for it, our daily bread, is that we should not be anxious about the future. Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we're to make plans for the future, but not be anxious about the future. We're to pray for our daily bread. This day, our daily bread. The word daily is a very unusual word in the Greek. In fact, it doesn't have the word day in it, unless in a very roundabout way. But it is probably means necessity or subsistence, and it is Jesus is referring to the bread that sustains us. It is the bread that he provides and which is required for this day. So we're to pray, give us this day the bread which this day's necessities require, that which we need for this day. Of course, in the Gospel according to Luke, the Lord gives the pattern for prayer in that chapter, probably on a different occasion, and he is directing us to pray, give us day by day our daily bread. And so we're to pray that God would give us each day what is necessary. Give us each day our necessary bread. So give us this day the bread which this day's necessities require. What do we need for today? That is what we're praying for. And so, friends, if God has given us enough today, then he has indeed fulfilled his promise to us. Now, of course, we're praying not just for literal bread, but we're praying for more. We're praying for all that is needful for existence in this world. The necessities of this life are set forth by the word bread. Remember when God spoke to Adam, he said, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." He is saying that it is with difficulty he will provide for himself that which is necessary for existence in this world. So bread is, or grain, is a common and most useful and necessary food, and it represents all that is necessary in this life. It is called the whole stay of bread in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1. Now, some people, in the past at least, have thought that the Lord is teaching us to pray not for literal bread at all, but for not for any earthly things either, but for spiritual bread. That is, that we might be feeding upon the bread of life. And so they are spiritualizing the word bread. And indeed, the Lord Jesus calls himself the bread of life. And it is true that that should be our main desire, that God would spiritually feed us with the heavenly bread. But you see, the prayer, the Lord's prayer, is a comprehensive prayer. And the Lord Jesus is teaching us in the chapter that we're to look to the Lord for all our temporal needs. And so we're not to think that something that the Lord Jesus explains in the context would be omitted in the Lord's Prayer. No, the Lord Jesus is teaching us to pray for our necessities in this life, the blessings of the present life, not just the world to come. So we're praying for the good things of this life, all that we need here on earth to enable us to glorify God and do His will for as long as we are here in this world. And that includes not just food, but all the necessities, including refreshing sleep, clothes to keep us warm, shelter over our head, medicine, safety, even marriage for some, all the things that are needful for body and mind in this world. Well, God has promised to provide for His people, and when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are to plead the promises. God has said in His word, Isaiah chapter 33, verse 16, "He shall dwell on high." This is God's people whom He takes care of. "His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given Him. His waters shall be sure." Bread shall be given Him. So friends, once again, this is telling us that we are praying not for luxuries, but for bread. Yes, bread is the staff of life. We're not praying for gold and silver. We're not praying for exquisite delicacies. We're praying for bread. That which is needful. Not that which is excessive, but that which is necessary. Of course, that doesn't mean the bare necessities, necessarily. We're not to be praying for riches and honor. The Lord may give that to us. Solomon did not pray for riches and fame. He prayed for wisdom, but God gave him more than that. He did give him riches and honor. But it's not the great things of this life we're to pray for, but the necessary things of this life, that which is needful, that which is helpful, yes, and even that which is comfortable. But again, not great things. Remember, Barak was told in Jeremiah chapter 45, God asked him, "And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Seek them not." And especially at that time, when God was bringing troubles and calamities upon the nations. And we do not know what our own land may have to go through. And is it right for us to be seeking great things, especially in a time such as this? But even without that in view, it's not riches that we're to be praying for, but our daily bread. Yes, we're to seek great usefulness. Those are the great things we should be aspiring to in the way that God would have us go, of course, according to His will and our rank and station in this life. But the point is, the necessary things. Give us this day our daily bread, that which is needful. Remember, Jacob vowed a vow just before he went to Mesopotamia, And God had appeared to him in Bethel, and Jacob woke up and said, "This is the house of God." And he vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." And he also promised to give a tenth of all that he had. Well, that should also remind us, are we giving to the Lord? And God gives to us, and we're to pray for that, but he also calls us to give to him and to his cause. And if we are giving to him, he promises to give us more. But also remember the prayer of Agur, Proverbs 30, verse 7. He says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." That which is needful, that which God's wisdom deems sufficient and good and helpful to us. And also we are praying for our daily bread. And we've already mentioned one reason why the Lord Jesus teaches us to say our daily bread is because he gives his people a right and title to the necessary things, the good things of this life. But also, we believe there is this in it, that we are praying for our specific portion. We are praying that God would give what is ours, not what is someone else's, and not what is beyond what is the proportion that he deems best for us, but whatever he sees to be fit for us, that is what we pray for. And by his grace, we will be content with that portion. Give us our daily bread, what God has assigned for us. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. So we're praying for our daily bread, that we would never be destitute of what is needful for glorifying God here on earth. What God considers good for us, that is what we desire. Give us our daily bread, which is needful for us today. And we commit the needs of the future to the Lord. We know that he will provide for his people. And we make plans, but we leave the outcome and what actually takes place and the provision God actually gives us, we leave that with him. We commit all to the Lord. That is our duty. That is our privilege. We're speaking not so much what actually happens in the case of each individual person. There's many struggles with doubt and unbelief. But we're setting forth before ourselves the clear, plain duty, which is also our blessed condition if we're actually trusting in the Lord for everything. But of course, we're to pray for the grace to be truly trusting in the Lord for all that we need. Well, perhaps at this point that should bring us to consider the blessing of the Lord. So we have considered the free gift. We've considered the sufficient portion. But now let us notice in the third place the blessing of the Lord. Because we're not praying just for the temporal necessities and the good things of this life, but we're also needing, and we should be praying for, the Lord's blessing upon them. We pray, to quote the Catechism again, that of God's free gift we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy his blessing with them. The blessing of the Lord. And remember the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So we're to pray for his blessing when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And remember that we are still required to use the lawful means to obtain the things that of this life that we need. And so our duty to pray for these things does not in any way take away our responsibility. We're not to say, "Well, I don't need to work, I don't need to make plans, because I'm just praying that God will provide for me, so I don't have to worry about anything, don't work, no responsibilities." That's not true. That's wrong. We're to be diligent. God is calling us to work. "If any man will not work, let him not eat." 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." How solemn the matter is that we should be diligent in our lawful calling and employment, and whatever the work is that the Lord calls us to do. Of course, mothers will be, small children will be taking care of them, and that is their work that they must do. Well, the Lord is calling us to be diligent and to pray for his blessing upon our endeavors. We're acknowledging, give us this day our daily bread, that though we work, yet it's really the Lord who provides. Though we are working hard to put food on the table, earn an income and pay the bills and so on, it's really the Lord who is providing for us. We're acknowledging directly, it is God directly giving to us all that we need in this world. Remember that, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It's the Lord that must bless our labors so that we would actually receive what we are working for and aiming for. It is God who gives us skill in our employment. The Lord helps us make the right decisions. It is even the Most High who is upholding the economy to prevent any economic crashes and recessions and so on. And it's the Lord who gives us mental and physical strength to go about our labors. And this is not just me saying this. This is what God is telling us in his word. Deuteronomy 8:18. We must not think that it is of our own power that we have achieved all our success and wealth. God says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." It is God who gives power, strength, wisdom to acquire wealth or all that is needful for us in this world. And if the Lord gives us more than what is needful, well then, that's his goodness to us, and we're to use those things wisely. But it's the blessing of the Lord that we need and that we're praying for in the fourth petition. Because it is God who is the first cause. He causes all that takes place in regard to that which is needful for us in this world. The food that we eat, the money that we earn, that's second causes. We must look beyond second causes to God, the first cause, who in his providence is arranging and directing all things for his own glory. Now, of course, we know that without food we will starve. But without God, even the food that we eat will not keep us alive. It is God who preserves our heartbeats and our breathing and everything in regard to our physical well-being. It is the mighty power of God at work constantly to keep us well and healthy and alive. So, friends, that's why we pray for the Lord's blessing upon the food that we eat. We're praying that God would make the food the means of nourishing our bodies and making us fit in our minds as well. We pray that the Lord would bless the means of safety. We can have the best protection in the world, but it will be of no avail without God's blessing and his power at work and his providence. So we pray for the Lord to bless the medicine that we take. Apart from God, there is no cure for any disease without God's power and blessing. And the very ability or experience of enjoying the things that God gives us, that we actually find pleasure in the enjoyment of the mercies God gives us, that's from God too. Ecclesiastes 5:19, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. So it's God's gift, and it's his blessing that we need. Well, let us pray for these things. Pray for our daily bread. Pray that we would enjoy God's blessing with these good and necessary things. And when we pray for our daily bread, there's one last thing we can learn from the word our, and that it's not just for me, but it's for us. It's plural. It's not my daily bread, it's our daily bread. So we are praying not that just we ourselves would be provided for, but that others would be provided for, that God would provide for them also. So when you think about your own needs, be thinking about the needs of others too. Give us this day our daily bread. And we're to think about the needs of members of the church, but not just the church, but for all people. Think about people in Africa and in other places where food is scarce through famine or poor distribution. And as it has been pointed out by others, we need not fear that if we pray for them, that there will be nothing left for us. That would be a very foolish thought. With God, there is infinite resources, because with God, there is infinite power. And he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And we never need fear that if God gives to one certain mercies and blessings, there will be nothing left for us. That is never the case. Give us this day our daily bread, for us and for others. One more thing, if we are really praying for the needs of others from the heart, then surely we will also do what we can to help them. Otherwise, where is our sincerity? We're like the people that I believe James rebukes. You say to your brother, be warmed and filled, but you do not do anything to help them. Well, that would not be sincere. So we're to pray for them and do what we can to help them. But finally, we're to make and pray for a right use of the mercies that we receive. Perhaps you've heard the expression in prayer, praying that God would help us make a heavenly use of earthly things. That when God gives us these mercies, we would use them aright, in a godly way, in a way that glorifies God. Why? Because by nature, our sinful hearts, we are prone to abuse the mercies of God and to use them unlawfully, just to consume them on our lusts, just to please our senses and gratify our desires. No, there should be a reference to God's glory in all. We do enjoy these things, but it should be enjoying them in fellowship with God, honoring him, thanking him, recognizing the reason why he gives us these things, to help us, to refresh us when we are weak, to release the tension of our minds, that we might afterwards be more ready and fit to serve him more directly. So these things that God gives us, praying for our daily bread, we should remember why God gives them to us and glorify him in the use of them. And yes, being reminded that when God gives us our daily bread, we should be thinking of the spiritual bread. As Jesus said, I am the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. And we should think about him and look to him, because the Lord Jesus, he it is that has purchased for believers a right to these temporal good things. Paul says, all things are yours, and we are to use what God gives us in our own experience to his glory, acknowledging that in Christ, we have all that we need. And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us in Christ all things? Well, we must be in Christ in order to have that right. Because if we're not in Christ, we don't have a right to these good things. We can't really say our daily bread unless we're in Christ. Now, if God gives you mercies, good things of this life, and you're not converted, well, it's not that you're stealing from him, because he still gives good things. But you don't have a right to them, and you can't expect God to continue to give them to you, because you don't have a right. And so if God should withhold all these good things from you, all you could say is, this is just what I deserve, and I could never expect it anyway outside of Christ. If I'm not in Christ, if I don't believe in Christ, I can't expect God to give me anything. What should this tell you? Run to Jesus. Go to him. And if you come to him, you'll have eternal life itself, and you'll have a right and title to that and all the good things of this life. You'll have that entitlement, as it were, a title to the good things of this life, so that all that you need here, you will be provided for as long as you'll be here, as long as God would have you here on earth. He will give you your daily bread. So let us all be looking to Jesus by his grace and praying, give us this day our daily bread. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to pray. We are not fit in ourselves to do anything that is spiritually good. We have need of thy grace constantly to pray aright, to preach aright, that we would honor thee in all that we do, and whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, that we would do all to the glory of God. O Lord, work in us to will and to do of thy good pleasure, because all that we can do spiritually is by the Holy Spirit, but also all that we need in this world. Lord, may we be encouraged to know that thou art able to provide for us, and that we are called upon to pray with encouragement, pleading the promise, give us this day, day by day, our daily bread. Thou knowest what we need, Lord, even before we ask thee. May this encourage us to acknowledge directly all comes from thee. Bless our labors as well, and bless those who are raising children in their endeavors, and provide for all the congregation, food and clothing, all that is needful in this life. May we all be brought by grace to cast our cares upon thee, for thou carest for thy people. And forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall conclude singing to God's praise. From Psalm 84. Psalm 84 from verse 7. So they from strength unwearied go, still forward unto strength, until in Sion they appear before the Lord at length. Lord God of hosts, my prayer hear. O Jacob's God, give ear. See God our shield, look on the face of thine anointed dear. For in thy courts one day excels a thousand. Rather in my God's house will I keep a door than dwell in tents of sin. For God the Lord's a sun and shield, he'll grace and glory give, and will withhold no good from them that uprightly do live. O thou that art the Lord of hosts, that man is truly blessed, who by assured confidence on thee alone doth rest. We will sing these five stanzas to God's praise, Psalm 84, from verse 7. So they from strength unwearied go, still forward unto strength.